Yesterday we were discussing Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur's pastimes as a district magistrate, as the temple administrator of the famous Jagannath Temple in Puri. We concluded yesterday with the divine appearance of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur that happened in 1874. So today we'll discuss the Thakur's pastimes post 1874. Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur returned to Bengal after his 5-year stint in Puri. Of course, he was still employed with the British government, and he held a very responsible position. So he was overseeing the administration, both judicial as well as revenue, in certain other parts of the country, specifically in Bengal. And now, having spent his time in Puri, very, very fruitfully, very deeply studying the Vaishnava literature, especially the works of Srila Jiva Goswami and Srila Rupa Goswami, and also Baladev Vidyabhushan, he continued to preach very enthusiastically and extensively in Bengal and also in other parts of India. He began his travels to other parts of India both for the sake of preaching and also for pilgrimage purposes. He first went to Vrindavan in 1880, and this was the time when he first met his Shiksha Guru, the most prominent personality in his life, Srila Jagannath Das Babaji. I'm not exactly sure whether this was the time that Jagannath Das Babaji gave him the Giridhari Shila. But in any case, either in this visit or in another meeting, Jagannath Das Babaji gifted him this Giridhari Shila, which Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur continued to worship very devotedly. When Bhaktivinod Thakur went to Vrindavan, he also visited naturally the other pastime places in Vraj. He went to Radhakund, he went to Govardhan, did the parikrama. And it is said that in Govardhan, he disbanded and split up a very famous, or shall we say, infamous band of dacoits. You know, even till today, the Vraj area is known for dacoity. So if you're not careful, you know, you might end up being a victim. Actually, Braja is a very interesting place, and you'll find both extremes there. In fact, one famous historian has said the same thing about India. He said, everything you say about India, the exact opposite is also true. So Braja is also like that. In Braj, you'll find the greatest of devotees, the greatest saints, the most exalted devotees of Krishna, but you'll also find real ruffians and rogues and scoundrels and dacoits. So even in those days, Braj was famous, or infamous as I said, for dacoits. So it is said that Bhaktivinod Thakur somehow disbanded this well-known group of dacoits over there. So his connection with Jagannath Das Babaji is very important. If you remember, on the first day of our series of talks, we spoke quite a bit about the disciplic succession and how Bhaktivinod Thakur was connected to the Sampradaya, and how Jagannath Das Babaji and Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, his predecessors and successors respectively, also connected to the Sampradaya. From Baladev Vidyabhushan, we had Uddhava Das. From Uddhava Das, there was another Uddhava Das. From that Uddhava Das came Madhusudan Das Babaji. From Madhusudan Das Babaji came Jagannath Das Babaji. By came, I meant that they took the Babaji or the Diksha. So the line of initiation went like this. From Jagannath Das Babaji, there came another devotee whose name was Bhagavat Das Babaji. You see, in those days, the initiation was in what we call the Babaji line, the Paramahamsa line. The Gaudiya Vaishnava community in those days, before it disintegrated post Baladev Vidya Bhushan and pre Bhaktivinod Thakur, was a Paramahamsa line. Paramahamsa means those who are transcendentally situated, those who were exalted, pure devotees of Krishna. And the initiation in the Babaji line meant basically telling you your Swarupa, who you are in Goloka Vrindavan. Now that's something we can't think of in this day and age. So then, Jagannath Das Babaji gave Babaji Diksha to Bhagavat Das Babaji, and Bhagavat Das Babaji gave Diksha to Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. So you see that Gaur Kishore Das Babaji was a grand disciple in Diksha line of Jagannath Das Babaji. And there is a Shiksha connection here. But in our line that we see in the Bhagavad Gita introduction, Srila Prabhupada doesn't mention the name of Bhagavat Das Babaji. Rather, after Jagannath Das Babaji, you find straight Bhaktivinod Thakur and then Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. Because this particular strand of the parampara is a Shiksha strand, a Shiksha connection there that goes between Jagannath Das Babaji and Bhaktivinod Thakur on one hand, and Bhaktivinod Thakur and Gaur Kishore Das Babaji on the other hand. And we'll talk a little bit more about this as we go on. So naturally, Jagannath Das Babaji had a very great influence on Bhaktivinod Thakur. Jagannath Das Babaji was a very renounced soul, extremely devoted, completely absorbed in his bhajan. He lived both in Vrindavan as well as in Navadvip. At the time of the first meeting that the Thakur had with the Babaji, it was in Vrindavan. Later on sometime, I don't quite remember exactly the date, but Jagannath Das Babaji moved from Vrindavan to Navadvip. And it was there again that Bhaktivinod Thakur met up with him. In any case, this was roughly 1880 that the first meeting of Bhaktivinod Thakur and Jagannath Das Babaji had. And this had a lasting impression on the Thakur's mind. In 1882, Bhaktivinod Thakur moved to Calcutta. And there he purchased a property, he constructed a building which till today exists as the Bhakti Bhavan. Not to be confused with the Bhakti Kuti that is in Puri. We'll also talk about it a little later. And when the construction work was in progress, as the land was being excavated to build the plinth and the foundation and everything, lo and behold, a wonderful thing happened. A deity of Kurmadev was found. Bhaktivinod Thakur was really happy, and he gifted this deity to his son, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, then known as Bimala Prasad. And he taught young Bimala Prasad how to worship it, how to worship this deity. Bimala Prasad at that time was very young. He was only 8 years old. And from then on, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta worshipped this deity very, very devotedly. This was also the year in which Bhaktivinod Thakur visited Mayapur for the first time. Now, you see, in those days, Navadvip and Mayapur were known differently. What we know as Navadvip town today was called Kulia. And what was today Mayapur was then Navadvip. So anyway, today is Mayapur on one side of the Ganga and the other side is Navadvip. But the side that is Navadvip today was Kulia in those days. So Mayapur wasn't developed pre Bhakti Vinod Thakur in those years. So nobody knew where the appearance place of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was. But Kulia was well known as a place of learning. Navadvip also, many people used to gather there. Scholars used to come. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur visited for the first time Mayapur. And in 1885, also another historic incident happened. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur started a printing press for preaching, which later on was continued by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. I mean the printing, the idea of having a printing press. And as you know, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta called this the Brihat Mridanga, the big mridanga, because when you play a mridanga, the sound of the kirtan can go only for a few blocks maybe. But when you print a book and you distribute that book widely, then the book can reach millions of people, hundreds and thousands of kilometers or miles away. So this tradition was started by Srila Bhaktivinoda. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is known not just for penning so many wonderful books on Krishna consciousness, specifically on the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he is also known for his innovations in preaching. He revolutionized preaching in a sense through the printing press, through this Brihat Mridanga. And he called it the Chaitanya Yantra. Yantra means a machine. So the machine of Sri Chaitanya, or of pure consciousness, because it is through this that he actually propagated widely the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Another of his preaching innovations was that in 1886 he began the Vishva Vaishnava Raj Sabha, which was like a gathering of intellectuals, and he took advantage of this forum to speak from the Chaitanya Charitamrita and the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu of Rupa Goswami. And many learned personalities, many intellectuals and prominent people of that time would come and listen to Bhaktivinoda Thakur as he spoke and gave his learned discourses. This was also the time where Bhaktivinoda Thakur met Ramakrishna Paramahamsa. Have you heard of him? How many of you have heard of Ramakrishna Paramahamsa? Okay. Ramakrishna Paramahamsa was the guru of Vivekananda. How many of you have heard of Vivekananda? Yes, many more hands. So Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, that was his name. He was an impersonalist, and Vivekananda followed in his footsteps. He also advocated the impersonalist philosophy. And Ramakrishna's famous statement was, Yatamat Tathapat. Yatamat Tathapat. Which means, whatever as many opinions there are in this world, there are that many paths to God. Now obviously, this cannot be true. And Srila Prabhupada in one discourse mentioned this and gave a very nice analogy. He said, if you want to go from one place to another place by train, you just can't buy any ticket to any place and sit in any train and expect to reach your destination, can you? You have to go to a particular railway station, buy a ticket for a particular place, and you have to get that train that will take you there. There are many trains at any train junction, and if you sit in just about any train that takes you anywhere, what is the guarantee that you will reach your desired destination? So this Yatamat Tathapat philosophy is flawed. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur discussed this with him and pointed out these flaws. But whether it had much impact or not, we do not know, because in any case probably it didn't, because he continued on with his philosophy and his teachings. In any case, this meeting happened in 1886. In the next year, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur desired to get the blessings of Lord Shiva. So he traveled to a place called Tarakeshwar. There are many places connected to Lord Shiva in India. There are many Jyotirlingas and many other places where the Shivalingas are there. So Tarakeshwar is the most prominent place for worship of Lord Shiva in Bengal. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur went there, and it is said that he had a dream in which Lord Shiva appeared to him and told him, "You desire to go to Vrindavan, but Navadvip Dham is so close by, and you have things to do over there. What have you done in Navadvip Dham so far?" And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur woke up and realized, yes, what have I done in Navadvip Dham? Now this is my Devadatta Bhumi, meaning that this is the place and the service that has been assigned to me by Lord Shiva and by Mahaprabhu himself. This Lord Shiva is indicating to me what Mahaprabhu's message for me is, that I must be here, I must spend more time and do service in Navadvip. So then after that, he somehow by providence, we would call it by Krishna's arrangement, by Mahaprabhu's arrangement, he was transferred in his job to Krishnanagar. Those of you who have been to Mayapur, you know the place Krishnanagar. It's a prominent town not too far from Mayapur. So from Krishnanagar, he would visit Kulia. Kulia, as I mentioned, is a place that is currently called Navadvip on the other side of the river Ganga. One day after a hard day's work, he went to the top of the building, of the guest house, the building where he was staying, to cool off, because it had been a hot day and it was a cool night. So he went for a little stroll on the top of that building, and he happened to look at a very beautiful sight of the Ganga. It's a very heavenly sight. Ganga, after all, comes from the heavenly planets, and actually she comes from the lotus feet of Krishna. So he was feeling great solace and relief from the day's work. He was gazing across the Ganga, and his son Kamala Prasad, not Bimala Prasad. Bimala Prasad is Bhakti Siddhanta, but this is another son, Kamala Prasad. Bhakti Vinod had 10 sons. So he was standing there with his son, and all of a sudden he saw an illuminated building, or what seemed like an illuminated building. At any rate, there was some bright light across the river, and both father and son saw it, and neither were able to understand what it was and what the source was. Later on, they inquired, and he actually went there. The place where he saw this illumination was a place called Ballal Dighi. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur went there to the next day out of curiosity, too, because he felt there's something here. Something special has happened there. So he wanted to find out what it was. So he went there, and upon inquiry he found that yes, indeed, that was the place, the Ballal Dighi, where there was that light. And he spoke to different people, especially to the elders at that place. And they said, yes, we have heard in our childhood that this is the place where Gauranga Mahaprabhu appeared. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very inspired, and he said, I must get to the bottom of this and confirm that this is indeed so. So he began to do a lot of research. He got hold of many old documents and maps, and in his mind at least, he was convinced that this was the place. And with all this documentary evidence, he was able to conclusively establish that Ballal Dighi, on the other side of the Ganga from Kulia, was indeed the place where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. Of course, later this was to be known as Mayapur. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur was to establish some deities there, and later on Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would also establish his famous mutt over there, his monastery. So this is one of the greatest contributions of the Thakur to the world, apart from volumes and volumes of transcendental literature that came from his prolific pen. He also was the one who identified the birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that was reconfirmed by Jagannath Das Babaji, and we'll see that a little later. 2 years later, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, now being very inspired by this confirmation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birth, came to Mayapur and desired to have a place of residence there. So in in Godrum Dweep is one of the nine dweepas. Dweep means island. Navadweep means nine islands. And Godruma Dweep is one of those. So in the place known as Godruma Dweep, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur purchased a plot of land and he built a house there, which he called Surabhi Kunj. And he began to reside there whenever he used to come. In 1890, he went to Kulia and met Jagannath Das Babaji, who had his bhajan kutir there. So it appears that from the time that he met him first, Jagannath Das Babaji had since shifted from Braj to Navadvip, and he was now at Kulia. So Jagannath Das Babaji was very happy naturally to meet Bhaktivinoda Thakur again. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was also overjoyed, and he tried to offer some services to him. And he actually constructed a concrete veranda at the bhajan kutir of Srila Jagannath Das Babaji. And also at another place called Amalajora, there was a kirtan program where many devotees came, and Jagannath Das Babaji and his followers also came. So from that time, of course, Bhaktivinoda Thakur would have regular association with Jagannath Das Babaji. The next year, that is in 1891, in Calcutta, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur met with a very famous, wealthy person in Calcutta called Shishir Kumar Ghosh, who was a publisher of a newspaper. Newspapers were in their early days, because the printing press had just started a short while ago. And Shishir Kumar Ghosh's newspaper still continues to this day. It's a very famous family and a very famous newspaper. They publish in Bengali as well as in English. So Shishir Kumar Ghosh became very influenced by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He would come and hear his lectures, and he would have philosophical discussions with him. And he also began to wear a kanti mala. But some of the devotees in the Gaudiya Math say that he actually didn't take to Krishna consciousness so seriously. There was some gaps in his following. But nevertheless, he was very deeply influenced by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And indeed, he was the one who gave the name Seventh Goswami to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Rupa Vilas Prabhu has written a very nice book, very extensively researched book on Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And he has titled it also as Seventh Goswami. So anyway, as time went on, the Thakur continued his association with Jagannath Das Babaji. And in his autobiography, I believe, Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions that in 1892, at the time of one Ekadashi, there was a nice kirtan festival. And the Thakur joined Jagannath Das Babaji and his followers in this kirtan, and all day long of Ekadashi there was fasting and kirtan, and the kirtan went on all night long. In the morning, again there was ecstatic kirtan. During that kirtan, there was so much ecstasy. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says he was astounded to see the ecstatic symptoms of Jagannath Das Babaji. And he said, there's something else that I had never seen before. Of course, he had seen Jagannath Das Babaji's ecstatic symptoms. But what is it that he had never seen before? The effect that these ecstatic symptoms had on the people who were around. Every one of them began to develop some kind of ecstatic symptoms. Everybody, all the devotees, their hairs were standing on end, and they were crying, and they practically couldn't sing and chant, but they were completely absorbed in the kirtan, and they were dancing wildly. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur records this. And he says, this is one of the most astounding experiences he had. Because this was the effect of the devotion of a personality like Jagannath Das Babaji. Later on in that year, in 1892, Bhaktivinoda Thakur once again went to Braj. The next year again, there is record of how there was another ecstatic kirtan festival, this time at Godrum Dweep, where Bhaktivinoda Thakur stayed, and Jagannath Das Babaji came there along with his followers and participated in the kirtan. In the same year, Jagannath Das Babaji was brought to Ballal Dighi, the place that Bhaktivinoda Thakur had identified as being the original birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prior to that, there had been some controversy, some discussions. Some people said the birthplace was in one place, somebody said another place. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur identified it, but he wanted it confirmed from Jagannath Das Babaji. At this time, Jagannath Das Babaji was more than 100 years old. And he was bent over, completely bent, because of old age. He couldn't even stand. He was either sitting or he would be lying down, but he couldn't stand because his body was fully bent over. In fact, even if he had to be moved, he would be placed in a wicker basket, and then the basket would be placed on his servant's head, and his servant would then carry him from place to place. That's how invalid he was at that time. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very keen that somehow or other Jagannath Das Babaji would come there at that place. Babaji obliged very happily. He was feeling some very strong vibrations himself. And when that basket was brought and the Babaji was placed at that place, a very astonishing thing happened. Even though ordinarily Jagannath Das Babaji couldn't walk or jump and so on easily, this time, something strange happened and he jumped out of the basket and he leaped up into this air, into the sky, and with his hands raised, he says, Gaura Hari Bol, he chanted very loudly. And he began to ecstatically sing and dance and chant, and everybody around him was struck with wonder. And he would, then he confirmed that this is indeed the place where Mahaprabhu had appeared. He confirmed it. Confirmed. There it is. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also recalls that when Jagannath Das Babaji would ecstatically dance, sometimes he would sing some Bengali couplets, the translation of which was that Nithai has come. He is giving us the names of Gauranga. And he has come to the marketplace with these names and he's selling it for the price of faith. So he would sing this and chant this again and again. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was now really, really relishing the association of Jagannath Das Babaji. Time went on, and in Mayapur, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur now established the deities of Gauranga Mahaprabhu and Vishnu Priya. He first had them installed in a thatched hut, and then, I'm not sure, probably they may have built something more, but at least for quite a while the thatched hut remained. So this is another important contribution of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He established Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's deity, number one, and he established it in Mayapur. So this was a very, very important development in Gaudiya Vaishnava history in the last 150 years or so. And then, this was the time also in 1894, so he must have been about 66 years of age, that Bhaktivinod Thakur retired from government service. And he went to Godhrum Dweep, to his residence, and began to live there permanently and do intense bhajan. It was in 1896 that Jagannath Das Babaji disappeared from this world. He performed his Tirubhav Leela at that time. Bhaktivinod Thakur continued to reside in Godhrum Dweep, in Surabhi Kunj, and used to lecture extensively over there. A couple of years later, probably in 1899, Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur purchased another plot of land and he built another house there and he named it Svananda Sukhada Kunja. Now, for those of you who attended the lecture on the first day, today's the third day, does this name ring a bell? Svananda Sukhada Kunja. What is it? What does it remind you of? Yes. Yes, that's the name of the Kunja. Kunja is a bower, like a flower garden, that he resides in his eternal identity as who? Kamala Manjari, in Goloka Vrindavan. So therefore he named it as Svananda Sukhada Kunja. Sva Ananda Sukhada. Sva means self, Ananda means bliss. Sukhada means that which bestows sukha or happiness. Svananda Sukhada Kunja. So he established this house and began to live there. And it was here that he began speaking, continued his speaking from the Chaitanya Charitamrita and the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and so on. Now, it was here that Gaur Kishore Das Babaji would come to hear from him. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji was a Diksha disciple of Bhagwat Das Babaji Maharaj, as I mentioned earlier. But he was very inspired by Bhaktivinod Thakur. Even though Bhaktivinod Thakur had, at this stage, not formally accepted a renounced life, he had retired from his job. But Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, or Babaji himself, came to Bhaktivinod Thakur, who was a Grihastha, now is a Vanaprastha. And he would faithfully hear from the Thakur. Therefore, we see the Shiksha connection. Therefore, there is Bhaktivinod Thakur, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. It was at these meetings, in one of these meetings, or one of these sessions, that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur actually met Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj for the first time. And then he would see him regularly. And meeting with Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj and seeing him left a profound impression on the heart of young Bimala Prasad. And the association continued on and eventually, of course, as we know, he accepted Diksha from him. In the year 1900, Bhaktivinod Thakur traveled with his young son, Bimala Prasad, who was now 26 years old. He traveled to Orissa from Bengal. They went to Remuna, which is a place of Kirchora Gopinath, as you know, Madhavendra Puri's famous place. Of course, the temple was existing even before Madhavendra Puri came. It was known as the Gopinath Temple. But after Madhavendra Puri, it became known as the Kirchora Gopinath. That Gopinath who stole kheer or sweet rice for Madhavendra Puri. They went to Bhubaneswar, they went to Jagannath Puri. And at this time, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta developed a very strong desire to stay on there and perform Nama Bhajan, which means to chant the holy names. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was extremely inspired by coming to the place of Haridas Thakur Samadhi. And he wanted to be there and chant. So he requested his father to make some arrangement for him for this purpose. Bhaktivinod Thakur, of course, even though he had retired, but he had been for many, many years a very responsible officer in the government's administration. So he had contacts. So he used his contacts to ensure that his son got a little place to do bhajan. So using contacts for that purpose is very good. But nowadays people use contacts for some material purposes, to get some contract or to get, you know, you're somebody you know very well placed in some job or something like that. But he used his contacts to facilitate his son's bhajan. And then the next year, because Bhaktivinoda Thakur also was so inspired by his visit once again to Puri, he came again after several years, he decided to build a house over there. And this house was called Bhakti Kuti. And ISKCON has purchased this building today. Of course, they've constructed it now, newly, but the same place. So there's an ISKCON temple there in Jagannath Puri, and that's also called Bhakti Kuti. So it's a heritage place for us, because that is a place that Bhaktivinoda Thakur stayed in and performed his bhajan very intensely. And it is said that as he resided there and he performed his bhajan over there, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, as a young man who was very learned and very scholarly, would also give discourses on the Chaitanya Charitamrita and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur would sit and hear these classes from his son and his Shiksha disciple. And he would relish it very much. So, like father, like son. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was a perfect Shiksha disciple. He was a perfect student and a perfect son of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And this went on. In 1908, Bhaktivinoda Thakur formally accepted the renounced order of life, not sannyas, but the Babaji initiation, the Babaji Vesha rather, Paramhamsa Babaji. As I mentioned earlier, in those days, the Vaishnavas who were very exalted would take the Paramhamsa Vesha, or also called the Babaji Vesha, which was basically just a loincloth going up to the knees, and then probably one cloth on the top, that's it. You see in the pictures of the six Goswamis, that's what they're wearing. So that was the Babaji Vesha. On the altar, you'll see the six Goswamis in white. So the Babajis in those days, in the renounced order, would wear white cloth. It was Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur who introduced the saffron cloth. Before that, in the Vaishnava Sampradaya, except for Mahaprabhu and probably one or two others, the six Goswamis, definitely everyone would wear white. Swarup Damodar took sannyas formally before he met Mahaprabhu, but he maintained his brahmachari name, Swarup Damodar. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur took on the Babaji Vesh, which was white, and he performed very intense bhajan. All day long he would just chant and hear and chant and hear. Sometimes he would write. He went deep within himself, relishing the holy names of the Lord. And this went on for some years. And in 1914, eventually, of course, he returned to Calcutta. In 1914, in Bhakti Bhavan, which is the place that he had started many years ago, he performed his disappearance day pastimes, his disappearance pastime. While deeply absorbed in the holy names, he departed from this world. And that was exactly 100 years from today, from day before yesterday actually. As per the Western calendar, it was the 23rd of June. And we celebrated, or we observed, the 100th anniversary of his disappearance day before yesterday. So in this way, Bhaktivinoda Thakur performed his pastimes. At that time, 1914, how old? Calculate, 62 and 14, 76 years of age. So at the age of 76 years, Bhaktivinoda Thakur entered into the divine pastimes of Radha and Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. A glorious departure. So as I was mentioning on the first day, the disappearance of the great acharyas for us is more significant than their appearance, even though the appearance is definitely very, very important. Because that is the time that the acharyas re-enter or enter into the transcendental world. They enter the transcendental pastimes of Radha and Krishna in their eternal identity, whatever that identity may have been. So it's a very, very significant event. But because the acharya moves away from the earthly vision of people around him, therefore for the Vaishnavas it's also a cause of great sorrow. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur's contributions, therefore, as I mentioned, were number one, he prolifically wrote transcendental literature, especially outlining the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Secondly, he found the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and had it confirmed by Jagannath Das Babaji. Thirdly, he introduced many, many innovations in preaching, like the printing press and so on. He had magazines which were distributed. He personally also extensively lectured and spoke, traveled far and wide. He had a very vigorous preaching spirit. Even in his last days, in his manifest pastimes, in 1910, one time he was extremely sick. But nevertheless, he got up off his bed because there was preaching opportunity, and despite his ill health, he went and spoke very strongly at that place. In 1911, another event, significant event took place. Many of the brahmanas, the intellectuals, because the brahmanas were the intellectuals in those days, there was a huge conference that had been organized to understand the glory of the brahmanas vis-a-vis the Vaishnavas. And you know this from the history of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur was too old to go and make a presentation at that conference. And he was too sick as well. But he sent his son. He said, "Bimala Prasad, you go now." Because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was already at that age a very accomplished, formidable scholar. Nobody could actually stand in front of him. Even when he was living in Puri, he refuted the claims and the siddhantas of many of the so-called Babajis who resided there, whose views were heterodox. They were, meaning that they were apasampradaya, apasiddhanta. They were faulty. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was so thorough in the conclusions of the philosophy, he was so bold and brave, he would fearlessly refute the arguments of these people, even though these other people might have been very powerful in those areas. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur instructed Bhaktisiddhanta, "Okay, Bimala Prasad, you go. And you present the correct conclusions." So at this very, very famous historic conference, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur went there. It reminds one of how a very famous debate took place between the Gaudiya Vaishnavas and the Ramanandis in Rajasthan, in the Jaipur, in the court of King Jaidev, Jai Singh. Because the Ramanandis had been saying that the Gaudiya Vaishnavas are not a bona fide group because they don't have a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. And Baladev Vidya Bhushan at that time had protested because he had been sent there by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. But before that, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas living there and worshipping Radha Govinda had protested and said, "You see, we don't need a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra because the Srimad Bhagavatam is the natural commentary on the Vedanta Sutra, written by the same author." But the Ramanandis wouldn't accept that. So then there was a debate, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was a leading Vaishnava, but he was too old and sick to travel, so he instructed his Shiksha disciple. Again, Baladev Vidya Bhushan was not a Diksha disciple of Jagannath Das, oh, I beg your pardon, or Vishwanath Chakravarti. His Diksha Guru was Damodar Goswami, Radha Damodar Goswami. But he was very inspired by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So Vishwanath called him, he said, Baladev, you go. You represent the Gaudiyas there. So he went, he refuted them, he even wrote the Govinda Bhashya, which is the commentary on the Vedanta Sutra, in a very short span of time. Some people say 1 week, some people say 1 month, some people say 2 months. Whatever it may be, it was a very short span of time. So a very similar thing happened here. Bhakti Vinod Thakur sent his Shiksha disciple and his son, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, go and uphold the dignity of the Vaishnavas and the Vaishnava conclusions. These caste Brahmanas have become unnecessarily puffed up and proud, and they claim that only one who is born in a caste Brahman family can become a guru. So establish the true conclusions of Vaishnavism. So empowered by the blessings of his father, young Bimala Prasad went there, and initially he glorified the Brahmins like anything. He produced different quotes from the scriptures saying how great and exalted the Brahmanas were. And all the Brahmanas were overjoyed to hear this. Little did they know what was to follow. And then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur came down like a ton of bricks on them and explained how actually who is a real Brahmana and who is a Vaishnava and what is the relationship between a Vaishnava and a Brahmana. And there was a furor and uproar at that place. And many of them actually came to touch his feet. And they wanted to wash his feet and sprinkle the water on their heads. And the police commissioner of that place had to intervene because there was such a stampede. And he had to take Bhaktisiddhanta and protect him so that he wouldn't be harmed in that stampede. Because they all wanted to touch his lotus feet. And Bhakti Vinod Thakur was overjoyed to hear the news of these developments. And he heartily blessed his son, who of course took over the mantle of the stewardship of the Gaudiya Vaishnava preaching mission after Bhakti Vinod Thakur. So Bhakti Vinod Thakur was the root of the Gaudiya Vaishnava preaching in the modern era. Very ably followed by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And our own Srila Prabhupada has very ably followed in the footsteps of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. And thus the movement goes on. So we owe a very great deal to Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. So on this day let us pray at his lotus feet. He is now as Kamala Manjari in Goloka Vrindavan. Let us pray at his lotus feet that he may kindly bless us with pure devotion to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda. Let us pray to him also that we may imbibe that pure vigorous preaching spirit that he had. And let us also pray at his lotus feet that he may empower us to spread the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the people of this world who are suffering for want of Krishna consciousness. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur ki jai. In the last 2 days I had not left any time for questions or comments, so we still have a few minutes. So today I'm ending early so that if any devotees wish to offer any comments, you know, please do so. Or if you have any questions also, please feel free to ask. Yes. First of all, any question or a comment? Any comments with anybody? We have many of our senior devotees here. Anybody would like to offer any comments? Shyam Sundar Prabhu. First comments if you have any. And okay, Shyam Sundar Prabhu is here, Bhagavad Ashray Prabhu is here, many other senior devotees here too. Okay, so questions.